This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Department of Agriculture just announced a multi-billion dollar pandemic assistance for producers effort that takes aim at gaps in earlier virus aid and restarts the popular coronavirus food assistance program. The new effort puts at least $6 billion into new programs to reach a broader set of producers than earlier efforts, including small and minority, specialty crop, and organic producers. American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley says another $6 billion will go out through restarting of the coronavirus food assistance program.
Most farmers who have signed up previously for CFAP will not need to reapply. Congress was pretty prescriptive on those existing CFAP producers, allocating about $4.5 billion for some of our price trigger and flat rate crops. We expect those dollars to start flowing sometime in April. There's also a top-up of a little over $1 billion for our cattle producers.
In the meantime, Walmsley says food supply chains and biofuels will benefit from the new Pandemic Assistance for Producers program.
Biofuels, you know, it's such an important industry for rural America and demand driver for particularly our corn crop. And so them having to be shuttered on top of decreased demand, they've really taken a hit. And so some of this assistance will probably not make them whole, but hopefully have them in a stronger position that we can continue to have that market demand.
Sign up for the new money from congressional appropriations and unspent COVID relief will start April 5th and continue for 60 days. Benefiting producers of dairy, euthanized livestock and poultry, biofuels, specialty and organic crops, and there's aid for PPE, food donation infrastructure, and interstate meat shipments. $500 million will go out in late April through existing marketing, training, minority, and beginning farmer outreach, consumer nutrition, ag research, and farm stress programs. In other national ag news here on your Friday, the American Farm Bureau Federation is urging the Biden administration to prioritize agriculture for the COVID vaccine. In a letter sent to the administration on Wednesday of this week, AFBF President Zippy Duval called for the elimination of barriers to the vaccine for America's farmers and farm workers. Duval says this prioritization would ensure that planting, harvest, processing, and distribution of human and animal food can continue to ensure our grocery shelves and food pantries remain stocked. The administration recently directed states to prioritize vaccines for teachers. AFBF's requests that similar action be taken for agriculture, and that's consistent with recommendations of several medical and science groups, including the CDC. While farmers and farm workers in some states have been able to access the vaccine, like here in Illinois, where agriculture is such an integral part of the economy, AFBF says other states have not allowed food and agricultural workers priority access. Duval asked the administration to take additional action to eliminate any barrier to the vaccine's access for America's farmers and farm workers. Moving into ag news from around the Midwestern region of the country, the Corn Belt does seem warmer than normal temperatures for most of the month of March. A successful farming article says the big question is, will soils be warm enough for on-time planting, and will there be enough soil moisture? Weather Trends 360 says mostly warmer trends through the end of March will likely help keep soils warm well through the early spring. However, the occasional cold front shouldn't be ruled out just yet, with the biggest risk of short-term below-normal temperatures in the northern plains and the western Corn Belt. The bigger concern in this area is a shortage of rainfall that might continue. Weather Trends 360 says areas of below-normal rainfall are expected in parts of the northern plains and western Corn Belt. The one good thing about the drier weather is the reduced risk of flooding in most of the Midwest. Recent heavy rain caused some flooding in the lower Missouri and Ohio River Valley, but the overall threat for widespread flooding is very low this year. And water wasn't the only thing seen floating in the Missouri River recently. Federal, state, and local response agencies worked together last weekend to recover an anhydrous ammonia tank floating in the Missouri River. Recovered near Jefferson City, Missouri, the 1,500-gallon tank, including its wheeled chassis, was seen floating downstream last Friday. Given the tank contained anhydrous ammonia, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources requested the EPA's support with recovery and disposal. The river was at flood stage last Friday, and the EPA secured and recovered the tank on Saturday. The tank was found intact and not leaking. A Missouri DNR representative says without the collaboration from all teams, removing the tank from the Missouri would have not been as successful. Missouri Farmers Association, known as MFA, agreed to store the tank at its location in Jefferson City. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources and MFA agreed to work together to find the tank's owner. MFA will keep possession of the tank if no owner can be found. In other Midwestern ag news, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Friday of last week proclaimed April as Meat on the Table Month, encouraging Iowans to support the livestock industry through meat consumption and purchase. The governor's proclamation was praised by the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, says ICA Director of Government Relations Cora Fox.
The Iowa Cattlemen's Association and the Iowa State Beef Checkoff Program is excited to see this show of support from the state of Iowa and our own Governor Kim Reynolds. This is really in response to what's happening in Colorado and across the countryside, where you're hearing more folks talking about we should be consuming less beef, we should be purchasing less meat products. And this is definitely concerning to our industry, which is why it's so important for us to speak up and work with our elected officials to make sure that consumers know that our beef is safe and it's nutritious and it's high quality.
Fox says the livestock industry takes great pride in caring for its animals. Beef producers invest in herd development, health and nutrition planning, and best management practices to ensure they provide consumers with a high-quality source of protein. Fox says the ICA will be working with the Iowa State Beef Checkoff Program to share additional resources for consumers.
We also want to make sure that folks understand the beef production cycle, so how that beef gets from pasture to plate. There is a lot of good work happening with our beef producers in terms of making sure that we utilize best management practices, that we are developing our herds in a way to create the type of beef, you know, the marbling that folks want when they get a steak. And this is something that we'll want to do over the next month and beyond.
To read Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds' full proclamation, you can visit iacattleman.org. And crossing the river now into Illinois State Ag News, farmers in the state of Illinois do not pay sales tax on some of the products they buy. Those include fertilizer, pesticide, seed, and machinery-related expenses. But what would happen if there were some taxes related on those expenses? University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke says from 2015 through 2019, those sales taxes would have averaged about $34,000 a year in northern parts of Illinois. It is more than half of the farm's take-home pay over that time frame.
Elimination of the sales tax on fertilizer, pesticide, and seed, or the elimination of the exemption, would add $21,000 of cost. And there's also exemption on machinery repairs, hire, and capital purchases. And if that was rescinded, that would have added another $13,000 of cost. So between the two of them, additional cost in terms of tax revenue on $57,000 of income, and that would be about just slightly over 50% of the income that happened.
A 54% reduction in the net income, in fact, on the average grain farm in northern Illinois. This pattern holds true across the state for the five-year period, says Schnitke, and that similar results would occur in the future if a sales tax was imposed on Illinois farmers. In other Illinois state ag news today, the Illinois Hog and Pig Report was released yesterday, Thursday, along with a national report, and we mentioned that earlier in the livestock report. Overall, Illinois inventory of all hogs as of March 1st was 5.25 million head. That's down 4% from December 1st of 2020, but up 2% from last year. Breeding inventory for the first quarter of this year is 580,000 head, up 10,000 from the previous quarter, but unchanged from last year. And market hog inventory at 4.67 million head was down 4% from the fourth quarter, but up 2% from the first quarter of last year. And the first quarter of 2021's pig crop at 3.01 million head is down 4% from last year. Sows farrowing during the period totaled 275,000 head, down 10,000 from last year. And the average pigs per litter was 10.95 for the first quarter of 2021, and that was the same as last year. In news from the Illinois Soybean Association, There's been some positives during the COVID pandemic. John Lump says the ability to meet legislators via Zoom has led to some productive conversations over the last year.
And it's good because we're able to get more of our board members on the calls also. So it's not, you know, just limited to two or three people. So it's actually been pretty good. And, you know, we've been hitting on Farm Bill, transportation, biodiesel, you know, a lot of the same topics, but more crisp and more current, you know, in terms of activities that we see now and also, you know, see in the future.
Lump says they also just wrapped up the Commodity Classic, which was held virtually this year. The national event features educational sessions and a trade show. And a great resource for Illinois farmers is celebrating 10 years. It's called Farm Doc Daily through the University of Illinois. A different article is posted each business day, again, for 10 years now. Brad Zwilling with the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management is one of the contributors. His latest piece is on the impact of power and equipment costs on Illinois grain farms. He says it's all about data, data, and more data.
It goes up to kind of the individual author, but the when we put all this together, it kind of had everybody kind of set the table on what the different specialties were. And, you know, so FBFM, we have a spot once a month. And so we write something on farm analysis. And then Dr. Gary Schnicke, he writes something on farm management. He writes two or three times a month at least, and it's probably more than that. I can't even think of that. It's probably every week he writes put two or three articles out. At the time, we had a marketing outlook person. We always did those every week, maybe two. And then we have a little bit about ethanol, and then we've got other pieces about livestock. So it kind of is cyclical on what's going on, but every once in a while, we'll put an article on there, in there about taxes, or, for instance, we wrote an article about PPP loans and economic retention credit. You know, whatever the timely topic is, that's what we try to do, and then fill that in with some other pieces of GWIS information with, you know, like, for instance, this power and equipment cost, it could have fit in at any time. But, you know, we're just still thinking about, you know, we're working on equipment right now. So I thought this was a perfect time to think about, you know, I'm putting repairs in this equipment. Am I better to repair it or replace it? So there's some creative thought process of what you want to do when we want to do it. And like I said, they kind of thought that through. And I think we've even had to reach out. Now we've got a couple other universities help. We have authors that write from those, too. But primarily it's somebody here at the University of Illinois putting an article together day in, day out.
And that website for you is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And much of the state should be seeing some rain this week as an active weather pattern continues. We'll join state climatologist Trent Ford with this look at the weather.
You know, the 5 and 7 day total, the 5 day total specifically, the entire state's expected to get over an inch. And, you know, we could see some isolated totals of 2 to 3 inches. Across a pretty broad area from the metro east area up to east central Illinois. So another wet week in store. Looks like temperatures will remain pretty mild, nothing extremely cold coming in, at least in the next week. So, you know, for southern Illinois, really I-70 south, more rain isn't necessarily needed. Actually, it could be a bit of a hazard as far as delaying field work and maybe adding to some flooding conditions down there. In central and northern Illinois, it's still pretty welcome because we still have some soil moisture deficits, much less than we had coming into last week, but those deficits still remain in the northern half of the state. And so you know, this rain could be very beneficial to continue adding moisture in the soil before we get planting.
And temperatures this weekend are expected to approach 70 degrees. And now in local ag news for your Friday. Don't forget that today is your last chance to get a Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation scholarship. They are due today to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Office in Carlinville. And tomorrow, Saturday, the household hazardous waste collection will be held at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler from 8 to 3. That'll be hosted by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and acceptable wastes are oil-based paint and paint thinners, aerosol paints and cleaning products, insecticides, herbicides, pesticides, mercury, old gasoline, antifreeze, used motor oils, fluorescent light bulbs, oiled and expired medicines, and household batteries. For a full list of what you can and cannot bring to the household hazardous waste collection tomorrow, Saturday, we have that full list on our website under the local news tab on WSMIRadio.com. And that wraps up Ag News here on this Friday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Friday morning, March 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.